you, Lord. And I mean that most sincerely. I've tried to download it onto a pen drive and it's too big. So, anyway, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for that written word, God inspired. And Lord, may we hear you this morning, Lord. Come to you with expectant hearts, ready to hear you and to act on your word. Through Jesus' name, amen. Right, today is week three of the Alpha series. And for those who haven't been here before, Paul, Sarah, Joe, Beth, no pressure. That was mean, wasn't it? Yes. Alpha is designed, I'm just going to give a little tiny recap, okay, my thoughts were there but I didn't say them out loud. Alpha is designed for people who wouldn't ordinarily describe themselves as Christians or even go to church. And Alpha in that setting is a place where the big questions of life can be asked. And the first week we looked at is there more to life than this? Alpha, when a group comes together, often, well, it can meet anywhere. If you go on the Alpha website, it can have Alpha in prison. Alpha for the more mature person, like in residential homes maybe. Or Alpha in schools. It can run anywhere. And it offers a place for friendship. Relationships develop over weeks, and it's often over food that this time is shared. But the main thing is to explore faith and those big questions of life. So as we're sat here today, you may think, well, okay, so why are we doing Alpha? We're not. We're looking at aspects of Alpha, and we're having a reminder of those fundamentals that underlie the Christian faith. So the first week, as I said, we looked at, is there more to life than this? Week one, I described him as some posh guy. Nicky Gumbel, he is a posh guy. And he heads up Alpha. And he said in one of his first videos that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that he wasn't always a Christian. And he openly admits he thought the whole thing was irrelevant. It was dull, boring, and a source to actually make him feel guilty. He couldn't see what relevance a guy who lived 2,000 years ago could have in his life today. And yet, deep down for him, there was something missing. He wouldn't go around saying, oh, there's something missing in my life. But he knew there was something missing. He'd always be looking for the next new thing. So career, money, house, car. Often these things are looked to as a source of happiness. And yet when they're achieved, it doesn't answer the dilemma, is this all there is to life? And on that first week, I shared a quote from Freddie Mercury. Freddie said that he had amassed a huge fortune and millions of fans, but shortly before his death, he was desperately lonely. He said, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man, and that's the most bitter type of loneliness. Success brought him world idolization, millions of pounds, but it prevented him from having the one thing he needed, a loving and ongoing relationship. And I've shown this again because Bohemian Rhapsody film was released a couple of days ago. If you get a chance to go and see it, I've actually seen it twice since Friday. But I have got a limitless card and I went with two different people. It's an excellent film and it shows, it portrays this loneliness that this man who seemingly had everything lacked so much. Then week two, we looked at faith and how to pray. We looked at what is a Christian. And I shared some of my story, being sent to church as a kid, even over a main road. I made a commitment at 16 in Liverpool Empire when David Watson was in town and Ian Lazarus was in the building. could feel it. I could feel Ian Lazar's presence that night, even when I was only 16. And then my life... What was that? 48. Sorry. Like a kid. And then my life was ruined. Not because Ian Lazar was at the Empire. Now I'm talking about 2005, when I went to Merseyfest. And although I was a Christian, I would say, yeah, I'm doing what I should be doing. My life was wrecked in 2005. And nothing was the same. Everything altered. Totally overwhelmed. The ball game had changed, resulting in this. Okay? It's something about this alpha course that makes us look deliberately at the basics of Christianity. What it means to have a faith. And it urges us to take a closer look at personal stuff. Today, why and how to read the Bible. Why and how to read the Bible. It sounds simple. I can recall being in a house group in my late teens. You listening, Emma? In my late teens, and arguing with the leader when we'd come to something a bit tricky in the Bible. I'd argue with her, why can't we just rip that page out and source it once and for all? It's a good idea, surely, isn't it? No. Alistair, you're so sensible. I just wanted to rip out the pages. And we'd argue about it, and she'd say, no, you can't do that. And I never actually did it. But I could not see how the removal of that page, to me, that was the answer. Little did I realise this would not alter the Word of God. So what is it about the Bible? Why and how should we read this book? And this is the first video. So, the Bible, best-selling book, and that gives, God-inspired word by human authors. Writers, not authors. Author is God. So, reading from Hebrews today. For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart. The word of God is alive. We've heard that the Bible is removed from the best-selling lists, and yet people still seek the word of God. So that tells if it's removed from the best-selling lists because it's going to skew those figures, then obviously people are seeking the word of God. The word of God is effective, is active. Many will call the Bible an instruction manual on how to live life. The word of God is penetrating. It's sharp enough to divide the soul and the spirit. The soul, we regard that as a physical life, our earthly existence. And the spirit, that with which we think, we reason. We look beyond the earthly to find God. So the word of God is testing not only our earthly being, but also our spiritual journey too. Our desires, our intentions, our motives. And everything is laid bare before God. We meet him as we are. Our innermost secrets are seen by God. We may be ashamed to meet people eye to eye, but we can avert our gaze from people. But with God, we are compelled to look into his face. And that's how we come to know God. To come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. How can we do that? Graham Norton on Friday night. You see how I spend my time, can't you? Graham Norton on a Friday night, the cinema twice since Friday. Life of leisure. But Graham Norton on Friday night, if you saw it, Jude Law was on the sofa. That's enough reason to watch it. He is playing young Dumbledore in latest Fantastic Beasts film, The Crimes of Grindelwald. For those who tuned in to see Jude Law, they'd heard him say that he went to meet the author about this fictitious character. So Jude Law went to meet the author, J.K. Rowling, to find out more about the fictitious character he is about to play. Now, if Jude Law makes his time to meet this author, to get the best he can from this author, the first-hand knowledge about this character, and we don't doubt that that's a good thing to do, it's a good bit of research, surely how much more would we need to talk to the author of creation through what we know in the Bible? The Bible is written by humans, but it's God-inspired. Why wouldn't we want to read the Bible to learn more about God, more about the relationship of God and Jesus, more about Jesus, and how we can then be in that relationship with God through Jesus? Why should we read the Bible? Basically, for relationship with Jesus Christ. So why should we read the Bible? To get into relationship with Jesus Christ. Because for us, that word of God is going to penetrate our lives. And the only way we can do that is engage with the word of God written. The Bible gives us guidance on how to live. The one who was created has revealed himself through the person of Jesus Christ. So again, we know about Jesus because of what we read in the Bible. The Bible is full of practical advice. As I said earlier, some call it an instruction manual on how to live life. It's full of promises. It sets us boundaries in how to live. We find the Ten Commandments in the Bible. We find all the laws and rules in Leviticus, which we may think, I'm never going to read that again. But overall, the message is instructions, boundaries, advice, promises on how we should live life. So here are just two samples of scripture. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, about what you'll eat, drink, wear, about your body, what you'll put on. Is life not worth more than food, and the body more than clothing? And the next verse from John. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears me? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal. But Jesus came so we can have life and life in abundance. So I've got a couple more videos to share. So we've heard a lot so far on why we should read the Bible. It's the word of God. It brings us into relationship with Jesus Christ. It gives us instructions on how we can live our lives and live it to the full. Next is how we are to read the Bible. And there are now two videos that are going to ask Emma to show back to back. The first one is how to read the Bible. And again, it's some practical advice. And I'm going to leave the final words with Nicky Gumbel on the last video. And he leaves us with a question at the end. And what we've done for these last few weeks is to talk to people next to us about a question at the end of these talks. Nicky Gumbel is actually going to ask the question. Now, you may want to just sit quietly and just think for yourselves what your answer is, or you may want to share with your neighbour. So I'll just... We'll show those two things, but what I'd like you to take away with you today is some practical help in reading the Bible. The first one is something I've given up before, but I've slightly amended it. And this is a Bible reading plan for the four Gospels over the next 45 days. And it has breaks in the middle, but that will take you through the four Gospels. Another plan is if you would like to do it in a year, and that's this one, Bibles and Coffee. May your coffee be strong and your faith be stronger. A year-long reading plan. So the print isn't obviously very big. If you want one of these, I'm putting it on A3. Let us know, we can do that. It's not a problem. The last sheet is double-sided. Earlier in this video, it mentioned YouVersion. How many times it's been downloaded. Now, YouVersion is an app on your phone. It tells you on different things how you can download it. It's absolutely free. So many different translations are available. So it gives you some help there on how to download it. If you can't do it, ask someone. We can get this on your phone, on your Kindle, on your computer. And the last one is an actual physical resource. And these are subscriptions to Scripture Union for daily bread and encounter with God. And these two both cost. It's £17, and for that you get four copies of this Bible reading note during the year sent to your home. Or I think we can order it through church. I think somebody orders it. Who orders it? Janet. Okay, so if you'd like those, either of those, see Janet and she can order them for you into church. Okay, so they'll be available at the back of the church as we finish today. So these last two videos on how and why we should read the Bible, I've gone through a lot of why we should read the Bible. Brings us into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. How we can have life in abundance. The next two are how to read the Bible. I'll leave it with you, Emma. Amen. Amen.